Tonight's message is entitled Messiah's Name Revealed in the Old Testament. It's more of a Bible study, but we hope, as always, that the Spirit of the Lord will get in into the message, get into our hearts as we allow Him room, and bless His holy word. And so we'll just read this portion of Scripture, and then we'll pray. In Judges 13, verse 18, it says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto him," to Manoah, "Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret?" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this rich time in your word, Lord, and there is so much that you want to reveal out of your word. And Paul challenged us in the New Covenant to study the word, to show ourselves approved, that it is your desire, Father, that we study your word, Lord, that we might know the depths of it, and that we might learn more of you. And knowledge builds faith, Lord. And so we need to be a people that are empowered and knowledgeable in your word, that knows of what we believe and why we believe it. And we pray, Father, that your Spirit would open our hearts now to more of the wonders of your word and the wonders of the word of God, Jesus, our Messiah. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, by way of time, you want to go ahead and find your way to Isaiah chapter 49, will be where we'll be spending a little bit of time tonight, and that will be our main text. But looking at Messiah's name revealed in the Old Testament, many Jewish people confidently claim that Messiah's actual name cannot be found within the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and therefore they retain uncertainties whether or not Jesus was really God's appointed deliverer. But most Christians as well are not aware that the name Jesus was called by from day to day is firmly embedded throughout the Old Testament scriptures. The secrecy surrounding the sacred name of God's Son is laid out for us in the story where Jesus, in the form of the angel of the Lord, appeared unto Manoah, Samson's father. So you have first, this angel of the Lord, which was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, appeared to Samson's future mother, appeared to her and said, "You're going to have a child." Well, when she told Manoah, her husband, he says, "Oh, I've got to hear it straight from the angel," because they usually in that culture, sadly, did not take the woman's opinion. It did not come with much weight. In fact, according to the law of the Torah, you had to have two male witnesses to testify of the truth, that women's testimony was not allowed in the court. But times have changed a little bit. Thank the Lord for that. But so the angel of the Lord, Jesus incarnate, appeared to Manoah and told him as well that they were going to have a child. And this angel of the Lord asked him, when Manoah asked for his name, he says, "Why do you ask after my name, seeing it is secret?" Well, the Hebrew word is pele, which means wonderful. And wonderful, something that is wonderful, is something so grand that it's hard to be fully understood, and that's why we wonder after it. It causes a certain amount of amazement. We talk about the seven wonders of the world. Well, one of those is still in existence today, the pyramids of Giza, and people wonder or marvel at it because they do not fully understand how it was made. We wonder at magicians' tricks, how they do them. We were awed and amazed and even perplexed. But once the secret is revealed, the amazement kind of drifts away, doesn't it? But it's not like that with Jesus. He is the wonder of wonders, and he is our amazement on a constant basis, and we will never, ever be finished being amazed with him and wondering over him. As we're going to see in a moment, one of the titles of Jesus in Isaiah 9:6 is Wonderful. Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That word wonderful is the same word here for secret, pele. And so there are wonders in God's creation. And we look at the butterfly and we wonder how it's made, but you have to watch to see it, to figure it out. But even at that, in its cocoon, there's a wonder that we cannot behold. These are the wonders of Messiah Jesus. For all eternity, we will be amazed at the things he reveals to us about himself. Now, an interesting passage of scripture in Isaiah seems to indicate that the glorious saving name of Messiah would not be revealed until the time around his birth. This is a beautiful portion of scripture, Isaiah chapter 49. A friend of mine told me about this verse only recently, and I got so excited about it. Here we are at Christmas time thinking about the babe, Jesus being born, and little do we know that there is a prophecy about his birth. Verse number one, this is really Jesus speaking in the first person, but through the voice of the prophet Isaiah. He says, "Listen, O isles." That is the islands of the sea, the remotest regions in the earth. "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people, from far." That would be the Gentiles, far from the land of Israel, far from Isaiah's point of view. "The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name." Now, this is the exact sequence we find in the New Testament. Joseph's knowledge of the onset of his betrothed bride's pregnancy can be seen in the fact that he was minded to put her away when he found out that she was with child. So, we know that when the angel visited Joseph, that the babe, Messiah Yeshua, was already formed in the womb. And knowing that Joseph was minded to put her away, God sent an archangel separately to both Miriam and Joseph to secretly declare Messiah's name whilst the baby Messiah was in early formation within the mother's womb. And especially for Joseph's sake, the angel was sent to him that he might learn to trust God and follow his leading. And we'll go through times of our life where we're just not too sure what God's doing. In fact, we'll think that he's not doing anything, that other circumstances are taking hold. And but if we'll learn to trust God and follow his leading, we'll see his plan unfold. Now, from the time of Jesus' actual birth and onward, his glorious name would only be allowed to be spread upon the face of the earth by mortals. Angels have proclaimed a whole lot of things. In fact, an angel appeared to Miriam and Joseph, the same angel, and told them this Messiah's name. But from the time of his birth, only mortals would be able to spread this name and to share it upon the earth. We've been given a great, great task on earth. We should not fail. Angels would love to take up our slackness. But God just says, just wait, I've got it under control. You know, angels, they look in amazement and wonder because they are in daily in the presence of Jesus. And so that's why we need to have our fresh daily vision of Jesus in prayer, in Bible reading, in studying his word, in singing praises to him, in coming into a full relationship with him, that we'll go out with that full knowledge of him and share him with the world. This Isaiah verse here is in no wise speaking of the prophet, because the following portion in this context disqualifies him, leaving no room for doubt that this passage is clearly messianic. Isaiah is not telling the world, all the islands, that God declared my name before I was when I was in my mother's womb. Isaiah had nothing to boast in but God. And as a matter of fact, the first time he met God in the temple, he said, "Woe is me," you know, and he asked God to cleanse him. So Isaiah has but one message for Israel and for the Gentiles, and that is hope in this Messiah. Now, in Isaiah 49, verse number 6 is the conclusion to the immediate passage here that we're dealing with. And notice three things about the scope of Messiah's ministry when he's born. He says, "It is a light thing. God is speaking about His servant, Son, and Messiah. He says, it's a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I also will give thee for a light of the Gentiles. That's the third part of His ministry. That thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Was Isaiah God's salvation to the end of the earth? No. He wasn't even salvation unto Israel, because they were about to go through a serious time of judgment. And God said, go to Israel, Isaiah, but they're not even going to listen to you. So we have another figure here, one that's clearly messianic. Now, looking at this name of Jesus in the Bible, the biblical or classical Hebrew word for salvation is Yeshua. And Yeshua in Hebrew means deliverance, aid, victory, prosperity, help, salvation, saving health, welfare. And it comes from the word Yeshua, very similar, just a slight difference in spelling, one letter. But this word Yeshua means He will save. It's like a promise. His name, Jesus' name in His actual Hebrew name, is a promise. He will save. An example of this Hebrew name can be seen in the English rendering in Ezra 2, verse 2, Jeshua, who was a spiritual leader who returned with Zerubbabel from Babylon. And in Jesus' day, both Aramaic and Hebrew was spoken, and English was far from coming into view. And that was only for another 500 years, more than 500 years after Jesus. So the angel Gabriel told Joseph, Mary's betrothed husband, Miriam, he said that she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Yeshua, for he shall yasha his people from their sins. So there's this play on words in Hebrew. Call his name Yeshua because he will yasha. He will save his people. So yasha is the root word where Yeshua comes from. Yeshua, he will save. Yasha, save. That's the root word. The angel used the well-known Hebrew name Yeshua to foretell the heaven-sent child's destiny. So in revealing this secret name, he was telling what he's going to do in his life, in his journey. Now we would recognize this name as Joshua. Very popular name among the Jewish people, very popular among the Gentiles, Joshua. Jamie, her name starts with a J. We named him Jonathan. I wanted to name him Joseph. She says, no, that's too many J's, but I have some more J's ready. Joshua, and there's a couple of more in there. I wouldn't have named you Jonadab, but because we already had a Jonathan. But anyway, this name is very prophetic, and we do see it in its English form. But to know it in its Hebrew form is to get to the heart of His name. And it's no longer a secret. But as we see it laid out in Scripture, we didn't know it was there all along. You see, Gabriel's message to Joseph was simple, clear, and prophetic. You shall name his name, you shall call his name Salvation, for he will save his people. The message was clear in Hebrew, and the message is clear to us in English. It was customary for the father to bestow the name upon his offspring. You look at the story of Jacob waited a long time for Rachel to have a baby. And when she finally had him, she was dying after the child was born. The childbirth process killed her. And as she knew she was dying, she named this boy Benoni, son of my sorrow. But Jacob overruled and named him Benjamin, son of my right hand. And so you can see where the father took the role of naming the child. Although you see some of the maids and wives and nursemaids, they at times named the child themselves. But we look in the scriptures and find out that the angel told Joseph to name the child. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 24 and 5, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus, or in Hebrew called his name Yeshua. So there we have the Father naming the Son. Yeshua was the heavenly ordained name given to him at birth, and the one he was known by on a daily basis. This name was descriptive of his mission. Jesus was born with a mission. And you know, we're born with a mission. All humanity is born with a mission to bow to God. The sun moves from the east to the west, and even blades of grass will turn with the sun and follow and focus on the sun all day long. If you've ever watched golf, my father used to watch it on TV. I was bored with it as a kid. But the game begins in a tournament. The first guy tees off in the morning, and at the end of the day, maybe middle of the day, the last guy tees off on hole number one. And the blades change according to the sun, and you actually putt the ball in a different, it works differently because the grass has shifted position. But if we could only be like that in our mission, to obey God when we learn, and following our parents' obedience as they follow the Lord, we have a mission. But Messiah had a mission, and his name spoke of his mission. However, the Savior was granted another name, more properly a title, which was particularly descriptive of his manner or his character. In Matthew 1, verse 22 and 23, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanu means with us, and El is the name of God. God with us. Emmanuel. We say Emmanuel. And this verse was quoted from Isaiah 7:14. So we find that Isaiah has several passages dealing with the birth of this Messiah, his identity. He would be born of a virgin, and we're going to look more at his identity in just a moment, but then even giving us the added insight that God will actually mention or speak his name while he's in the womb. Not speak it in heaven, but speak his name on earth. And he did this through the angel. The dual nature of Messiah can be understood from the phrase, as we see in Isaiah 9 verse 6. Let's look at it first. Isaiah 9 verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born. While you're looking that up, let me read this sentence that precedes it. The eternal deliverer of Israel, the Messiah, would indeed receive a birth name like all other sons at the appropriate and necessary time. Now, my mother did not have a name picked out for me and my twin brother till about day 3. They told us, you cannot leave the hospital till you've given these children names. Our firstborn, Rebecca, we were in the hospital, I think, only 2 days, but we did not name her on the first day. I think it was day 2 they came in with the birth certificate, and they had to write down a name. And so, as a general rule throughout history, many people, many parents, well, they've all had to wait up until a few decades ago before ultrasound. You couldn't name the child until after it was born, because you had to wait to see if it's a boy or a girl. Now they can tell beforehand, and people have already picked out the name. But in any way, Jesus or Yeshua was much like many other babies. He was not named till after. His name was not pronounced. They often kept it a secret until after the baby was born. Take John the Baptist, Jesus' forerunner. God held John's tongue that he couldn't talk until after John the Baptist was born. At the time of his birth, God loosed his tongue, then he could speak, and they says, what's this child's name going to be? And he said it would be John. So you have this glorious thing, this anticipation throughout Scripture of waiting to see what the child's name's going to be. Because there's a destiny behind the name. And if there ever was a destiny behind any name of any baby ever born, it was the Christ child, the Messiah, the baby Messiah. So the dual nature of Messiah can be understood from the phrase that a child is born. And let's read that. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So these are titles. These are not the common name, covenant name that he would be known by, but these are titles that are descriptive of his nature, the dual nature. So we have in this verse, Isaiah 9:6, his dual nature. For unto us a child is born. That describes his humanity. And unto us a son is given. That's a picture of his deity. Lest there be any mistake concerning Messiah's deity, that he was more, just a human. An archangel disclosed his full glory on the starry night of his nativity. We sing that song, you know, O Holy Night, and you can picture that one bright star that speaks of that bright one shining Messiah. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, we have the account of the angels. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. You're still looking at its humanity, but it changes, it shifts, which is Christ or Messiah, the Lord, God. This child being born is God come down. It clears it up. We often have problems trusting people, but whenever angels came to deliver a message, they left people with trembling and fear, and they dared not change the message. There are a few other Hebrew words or variations of Yeshua that are translated salvation in the Tanakh, but the word Yeshua is specifically used 65 times in the Old Testament. But when one places this word Yeshua back into all the actual verses where the word salvation appears, its power and significance is at once recognized. After all, salvation is found in a person, not in an ideal, not in a religion, not in a ritual. It's found in a person. Read with delight from just a small assortment of saving verses which clearly manifest the person who was born to save the world, beginning with his own Hebrew people. So we'll go through them chronologically. Genesis chapter 49, verse 18, Jacob declared, I have waited for thy salvation. I have waited for thy Yeshua, O Lord. We wait, we that believe, we that have the Spirit of Yeshua, the Spirit of Jesus in us, we wait for him to come in that mode of deliverance. Jacob talked about this Yeshua. He called him the angel, this angel that followed me all my days. He was the deliverer. This angel was Jesus kind of kept it in a secret way, not fully revealed. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 12, and Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoices in the Lord because I rejoice in thy Yeshua. And if you'll read 1 Samuel chapter 12, Hannah begins to speak prophetically, poetically, concerning a future Messiah. So no wonder we have this name Yeshua right in this portion of literature. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 23, Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day His Yeshua. Is that not our job in the New Covenant? Is that not our job if we have Yeshua, Jesus, dwelling in us? Is that not our job to show Him forth from day to day? Psalm 14, we're going to read several from Psalms. Psalm 14, verse 7, Oh, that the Yeshua of Israel will come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of His people, Jacob shall rejoice. The first time Yeshua came, many in Israel did rejoice. His mother was really perplexed at first because it was just something to wonder over. I've had this child without a man. Then after it was born, she beheld his holy nature, and on and on and on she wondered at him. And she wondered how he was going to bring the captivity, his people out of captivity. Psalm 20 verse 5, we will rejoice in thy Yeshua, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The most incredible banner I've ever seen in my life is this beautiful red, rich, blood red banner about this wide and about this tall. And it was cut at a slight D at the bottom with the little fringes, and it had this lion done in gold puff paint. This stuff was like three-dimensional. And this, I saw the banner and met the lady that did it. And I wanted to get her, this was 15 years ago, right at 15 years ago, I wanted to get her to make me one. I knew in the future I'd need one, but I wanted one because there's something majestic and mighty about a banner. It's what armies carried were banners, and the troops rallied to particular banners, right? They had to stay in regiments. And so this is what it's talking about here, these banners. In the name of our God, Yeshua, we will set up our banners. When you look at these verses, and once again, I can get you copies of this electronically, email it to you, so you'll have all the verses, and I have them, have this word salvation substituted for the word Yeshua. When you look at this, it really brings the scripture into focus. You know, you put on glasses, but even with glasses, you have to get at a certain distance to get them in focus. Or binoculars, we have to focus. And on and on and on. Sometimes with scripture, we have to focus. You have to go back to the original word. And sometimes when you look at this and you plug the word Yeshua in, it causes us to adjust our focus just a little bit. Psalm 62 verse 2, He only is my rock and my Yeshua. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. So Yeshua is our rock, our defense. Psalm 69:29, but I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy Yeshua, O God, set me on high. Many people around the world reach out to God. They want to be lifted up out of their earthly distress, their earthly turmoil. But it's only Yeshua that can set them on high. See, when we look to God, He says, look to my Son. You want salvation? You've come to the right person, but now I'm introducing you to my Son. It is Yeshua who sets us on high. Psalm 91:14, because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. God is speaking. Because He has known my name, He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my Yeshua. You see, we want to be delivered, we want to be honored, that means find our true worth, and we want to be satisfied. And what is that satisfaction? Where does it come from? It comes from a person. It comes from, as God says, my Yeshua. I have a nickname for Jonathan, I call him My Jono. I got it from a little guy. One of his cousins calls him My Jono. Because the little kid just came up with a saying, so I call him My Jono because he actually belongs to me. He's mine. But Yeshua, the Son of God, belongs to the Father. A personal identity that they alone share, and God gave him to the world and did not have to give us His only Son. He did not send an angel, which He had thousands times 10,000. He only had one Son, and He gave Him to us. Psalm 98 verses 2 and 3, the Lord hath made known His Yeshua, His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He has remembered His mercy and His truth towards the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the Yeshua of our God. The world has seen Yeshua through His written word, and through His proclaimed preached word, and through the testimony and lives of countless of His believers. Now this is my favorite of all. Psalm 116 verse 13. When you'll never take communion, that little cup, you'll never take the cup of salvation the same after you see this verse. I will take the cup of salvation. I will take the cup of Yeshua and call upon the name of the Lord. When we talk about the Lord's cup at the communion, that what we drink from is called the Lord's cup. He passed it to his disciples, many churches around the world. I was in a church in Ukraine, a Bible college. Some of us went over there on a missions trip, and we took communion in a big Baptist church, and they had two chalices, one for that side and one that side. This is real gold chalices, that tall and that big around and that deep. And some of the most beautiful cups. I've seen a lot of different Jewish cups. This thing was beautiful. Maybe because it was so big, but mainly because of what was in it. The man had white gloves on because he was holding a golden chalice, and he had a little white rag, and after each person would take a sip, a handkerchief, he would wipe the rim and pass it to the next one. But it was a beautiful time as he passed that cup, the cup of Yeshua. Then there's Psalm 118, verse 15, the voice of rejoicing. And Yeshua is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. What is the right hand of the Lord? It's not his right hand. It's who is at his right hand. It's Yeshua. It's a person. It's his son. Psalm 149:4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with Yeshua. And then Isaiah. We move to Isaiah verse 2. Only two more verses. Isaiah 12 verses 2 and 3. This has been a favorite of mine for a long time, some 15 years or more. Behold, God is my Yeshua. Could God have made it any clearer? Until Jesus was born, we couldn't really know. Now that he's been born and we know his name is Yeshua, now we know. Behold, God is my Yeshua. Or switch it around, Yeshua is my God. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my Yeshua. Jehovah is become my Yeshua. Yeshua was Jehovah. Yeshua is Jehovah. Yeshua, Jesus, is God. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation, out of the wells of Yeshua. He is a deep well. He's an endless well. As I was explaining to my neighbor today, like that manna in the wilderness, God didn't dump basketfuls and they collected for a week. They only collected enough for a day, and it would not last beyond a day. It turned rotten. God only gave them that daily provision. Yeshua is a deep, deep well, but we only get what we need on a daily portion. He draws up the well, and he dips in that label, and he gives to us as we daily come to him. And then lastly, Isaiah 56, verse 1. This has to do with our message of Messiah's name being revealed in the Old Testament. For my Yeshua is near to come, to be revealed. Dot, 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 to be revealed. Pull those together. For my Yeshua is near to come, to be revealed. Now, Isaiah spoke that in 700 B.C., so near to come was 700 years. But in God's timing, it was very near. So this last verse takes us back to the beginning of our study, our Midrash. The revealing of Messiah's name in the Old Testament. Yeshua's name was unknowingly revealed to the prophets of old, being concealed in Scripture for a long season. Then it was revealed audibly, yet secretly, to the child's parents, Miriam and Joseph. A few short months later, his name was revealed to the local community of Bethlehem, the town of his birth, predicted in Micah 5:2. And then wherever Miriam and Joseph sojourned, his name was revealed. By the end of Yeshua's public ministry, his name was known to all Israel. And not long after that, his name began to be spread throughout the whole world, just as Yeshua foretold by his holy prophet, saying, Isaiah 49, verse 1, our text, Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people, from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. He came, he grew up, he lived and loved, he taught and he tested. He preached and he prayed, he healed and he helped. He humbled himself and then offered himself as an atonement for sin. He died and was buried, but he arose and he ascended and was seated on the Father's right hand. And before he returns, he will save all those that call upon his saving name. Not only has his name been revealed to the world, but also the full power of it. Because it's not just an ordinary name. There's no name like Jesus or Yeshua. Every language has a different name for them. The Muslims or the Arabs call him Isa. The Fijians call him Jaisu. And you have so many, the Germans call him Jesus. You have all these variations, but it all stems back to his name, Yeshua, and it has great power. And I close with this verse revealing the power of his name, Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Yeshua every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is the full power of his name. Every knee one day shall bow when that name is mentioned, and every tongue shall confess that that name, that person, is Lord. Let's stand and pray. Avenu Malkenu, our Father and King, we thank you for this wonderful time in your word. We thank you for how mysteriously you have given us the scriptures. Though things are clearly written down, it takes your time and your purpose and your plan to reveal all these things to us, that we might fully know them. And the depths of your word will take the eternal ages for you to reveal the glorious things within it. For the psalmist has said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Your word is eternal. It will not burn up when all the elements of the earth shall burn, for your word is eternal." And we long to see more and more out of the depths of your word, and be amazed out of it. For your word speaks of you, speaks of your spirit, and most of all speaks of your Son, in whom you are well pleased. Help us to live for you, Father, and to live for your Son, as we walk in the power of the Spirit and in the power of Jesus' name, Yeshua, that we might please you in all things, Lord. We just praise you, thank you, and adore you, and adore that wonderful name, that most holy name, Messiah Yeshua, from where our salvation comes from. We thank you for this wonderful first evening we've shared in our Hebraic studies, and we pray for many more wonderful ones to come, Lord, as we discover the depth of your word and the glory of your Son that's revealed out of it. In his most holy name we pray. Amen.